Good afternoon. Jesus loves every day, but I think Wednesdays is his absolute favorite. I love that place, that old charismatic verse we used to sing choruses to. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what's going on around it, we rejoice and be glad in it. Because he made the day, tailor-made, just for us, just for you. This is a few verses later. I wanted to read this to you from John chapter 8. This is verse 21. It says, "And Jesus said, therefore, to them, to the Pharisees, I go away, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. And therefore the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he? Since he says, where I am going, you will not come. And he was saying repeatedly to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said, therefore, that you shall die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins." Now, three different times Jesus says to those guys, seems like a kind of a hard thing to say about people, is that you're going to die in your sins. Not just die for their sins. Jesus paid for our sins at the cross, but if you don't believe, you're going to still die in your sins. People don't go to hell because of unforgiveness. They go to hell because of unbelief. But what Jesus came to do is not just set us free from penalty of sin. In other words, under God's judgment, and therefore he paid for sins. And he did that for sure. But Jesus came to set us free from living in our sins. Because if all you do is live in your sins and don't believe, you're going to die in that same condition. What Jesus was saying to them, you're still in your sins. Sin is what dominates your life. You'll see that a little bit more as we go back and read these verses that Bracken read. And he said, and if you don't believe, the way you're living is the way you're going to die, still under the reign of sin. So you need to understand that when we talk about behavioral change, or not behavioral change, a better word would be behavioral transformation. When we talk about things like Jesus doesn't want you to walk around speaking your mind all the time because the mind of the flesh doesn't have anything that profits anybody. And it's not a personality type. It's sin. He wants us to speak the mind of Christ. That's just one example. And Jesus came to set us free from living in our sins. Now, you and I, as Christians, are not going to die in our sins in the sense that we're technically under the reign of sin. But sadly, you can be delivered from Egypt and live in your wilderness all your life and never experience all that Canaan has to offer. And so that's why we say, this is why Lent reminds us, don't be casual about what Jesus came to do. And that is to rescue you from living in your sins. Jesus came to rescue you from being critical, from being controlled by lust, by being envious and jealous, by being a grouch or a grump, from having attitudes. He came to set us free from sins. So, when we use the word follow, I don't know if it's a better translation, but it's as good a translation. The word follow carries also with the idea with to join or to accompany, not just like walk behind somebody, but it's about Jesus said he's the way. And therefore, there's this way of life that Jesus lives, and he invites us to walk in that, to follow him, but not like walk behind him, but to accompany him, to participate in the way of life he lives. So we use the word follow, think in that term. Well, think of it in terms of the way Jesus, let me just, down in verse 15. Jesus said, you people judge or discern. The word judge actually means is the word decide. To look at you, come to some conclusions, and make a decision about you. And he says, you people judge according to the flesh, and I am not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, or I'm not alone, but I and he who sent me. Jesus is talking about union. He followed the Father. He accompanied the Father. Okay, you with me? So back in verse 12. To help understand what Jesus is saying here, remember what Jesus said, or what John said about Jesus in chapter 1, verse 9, that Jesus came into the world enlightening every man, every person. Jesus came to give a demonstration of what normal, whole human being looks like when they live life. Because even though he was God, the incarnate Jesus, the incarnate God, Jesus, lived on earth as human, as second Adam. So he came to enlighten every human being to give us hope. Oh, wow, this is an example of how I can live. This is what humanity is supposed to look like. Not the way I've been living in my sins, but I can live this life. He came to enlighten humanity. And I don't know how much that strikes you, but that always blows me away, because it's like this hope that the life that he lived, I now can experience. I can accompany him and live that life. I don't have to know the misery of being a grump and the misery it causes everybody else. I don't have to know the misery of speaking my mind all the time, forcing my way, and being miserable in that and making everybody else around me miserable. I don't have to be critical and the misery of that. I don't have to blow up in anger. I don't have to stay upset. Do you ever get upset with people? That's a rhetorical question. And if you tell me no, then we can talk about, do you ever lie? Because we know that you do, okay? Do you ever get upset? You know that Jesus didn't get upset with people? He got upset about situations, but never with people. Like when he cleansed the temple, but that he just didn't walk around upset with people. Jesus came to set us free from that kind of nonsense and to set other people free from that kind of nonsense that we walk in. So in verse 12, when he says, Jesus therefore spoke to them, repeatedly saying, I am the light of the world, and he who accompanies me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What life? His life. Jesus said he came, he said, I am the light of the world. What does that mean? Again, it means that Jesus came as a light in the world for people in the world to see what the new creation, or what God's original intent, was always meant to look like. And he said, he who accompanies me will no longer walk in darkness, live in your sins, but you'll experience the light of my life. It's fun to walk in light, because there's a lot of freedom when you can see what's going on around you. But when you walk in darkness, there's no fun in it at all. There's no joy in it. Are you discouraged today about anything? Jesus doesn't get discouraged. Discouragement is darkness. When you accompany Jesus, who's the light of the world, you know what it says about you in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14? You are the light of the world. I thought it said Jesus was the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world so that we could accompany him and join him and participate in him and be the light of the world. So that when people around us watch, see the light that you live and listen to the responses that you have to life, they want to go, I want that. I want that life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you're bearing witness of yourself. Therefore, your witness is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. Now, is Jesus talking about one day he's going to go back to the Father? I think partly. But I don't think, really, that's the main issue. Jesus says, if I bear witness of myself, he says, because I know where I come from, and I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing in life. I know where I'm going. But you don't know where I come from, or you don't know where I'm going. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not about going back to heaven. It's about, I know I come from God. I'm in union with the Father. And I know in every situation, in every conversation, it is so awesome to be in the midst of a conversation and all people are saying all kind of weird stuff that's darkness. And you know where you come from. And you know where you're going in this thing. and you speak things that sound like foreign language because you know where you come from and you know where you're going. And it's light and it's true. You see, anything that we do that's not Him is false. Everything the flesh does is false. There's nothing true about it. That's why there's no freedom in it. It's the truth that sets you free. I was sitting with someone one time, I've told similar stories, this is different, but one time I was sitting and talking to some folks and somebody had gotten offended by somebody and they weren't being bitter, they were just being kind of critical and yada yada. And they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know where they were come from. They didn't really remember who they were in Christ. And it was so awesome to be able to stop in that moment and said, well, you know what I think God's told us, therefore, to love Him more. And it sounded like I was talking in a foreign language, but that's the light of life. And there's liberty in that. And there's impact in that. And it is so other than flesh. Remember what Jesus said in John 6? The flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit gives life. I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. We do not know where I come from or where I'm going. Again, you judge according to the flesh, but I'm not judging anyone. But even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and He who sent me. I see and discern life and reality in union with my Father. And now I'm inviting you to follow me, to accompany me, so that you see and discern and make decisions based on our union. So that when I get tempted to be afraid, and Jesus says, I don't get afraid, I can now make a decision to accompany Him and not live in fear, knowing where I'm coming from now and knowing where I'm going in this. I'm not going to go in this in the fear and anxiety and all that jazz. That's living in your sins. He says, even in your law, it has been written that the testimony of two men is true. I love this. I am He who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me, He bears witness with me. That's why sometimes I love to use that language that says, somebody will ask me something sometimes and they'll go like, what does that concern you? And I'll like say, well, no, we're not concerned about that. Because even though we're two, we're one, but we're two. We have a relationship, but we're one. But we're two, we're one, but we're two. You know, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. We're two, but we're one. And so I love that. I can say, no, we're not afraid here. And no, yes, we've forgiven that person. Because you see, Jesus has reminded me that He made that decision about us 2,000 years ago. He already forgave them. And He's invited me to accompany Him and participate in His life. So I can honestly say, yes, I forgive them. Or actually, I'm saying, yes, we forgive them. Because I'm joining Him. He's never going to join me. It's always me enjoying Him and by joining Him, accompanying Him. For where He is, that's where I am also. Not where I want to be. See, I know where I come from. I'm coming from Him. And therefore, I know where I'm going. Let's read this. One more verse or two. No, we'll stop there. Jesus goes on later and He's just talking about the Father, and He said when they got upset with Him and they wanted to seize Him, but they couldn't because His hour had not yet come. Now, how did Jesus live that way as man? How cool. We walk around all the time, don't we? Trying to figure out circumstances. Is it going to work out? I don't know what's happening. You know, I'm doing okay in light of the circumstances. As if our Lord, we're in Christ, and therefore He's ordering our steps. The enemy's not in control. I live in Him, and therefore nobody can do anything to me unless it's part of His sovereign purpose and plan in my life, and then it has redemptive value in this fallen world. So I guess what I'm trying to say to you again today is catch a vision for the way Jesus lived. Because that's the life He's invited you to accompany Him in. That's the way He lived. Always knowing where He was coming from. And therefore always knowing where He was going in every situation and circumstance. Not being governed by what people are doing or other people's attitudes or other people's situations or circumstances in their life. And that's walking in the light of life. And not walking in darkness. Because there's a lot of fear, a lot of confusion when you walk in darkness. A lot of anxiety, a lot of uncertainty. I don't know everything that's going to happen, but I do know this. I know where I'm coming from. And I know where I'm going. I don't mean heaven one day. I know where I'm going. I know how to navigate life because Jesus knows how to navigate life, no matter what circumstance comes. I don't ever have to fear, well, what will I do? What if this happens? What will I do? I know where I'm coming from, and I know where I'm going in Christ. I don't have to fear any of those things. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.